Good morning. We appreciate you graduates for standing up in front of all of us. Most people don't like to stand up in front of others, but we are so glad we can celebrate with you, and thank you for doing that. Wishing you all of God's very best as you go on to the next places of your life. It is an exciting time in your life to graduate high school, graduate college, and be able to find out what God has in store. So very exciting. Friends, something's been going on with me lately where all of a sudden I feel like maybe I'm starting to get a little older. Now, some of you guys are probably saying, you mean the gray, white hair? And if that's what you're thinking, I'll just say, watch yourself. It happens to the best of us unless people do something to try to keep it from happening. Even Mike and Matt have some gray sprouting here and there, so it happens. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. No, what makes me realize that I'm getting a little older is I find myself thinking, like when I was younger, what I thought older people were thinking. You know what I'm saying? I find that happening more and more. And this is the thought that's been running through my mind that from time to time that sounds like something my parents would have thought. That's part of it too. But I bet it's a thought that some of you have had. I bet this is a thought that some of you had, and here's the thought that I've had. Has everyone lost their God-given good sense? Amen. Do you ever think that sometimes? Has everybody just lost their God-given good sense? What is going on in our world right now? It feels like everybody has. And can I give you just some examples, all right? Here are some examples. You should work to earn money, right? You should treat others well. You should hold the door for the people coming in behind you when you're walking into a restaurant or into a store somewhere. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't cheat. You shouldn't steal. Not everyone wins the game. It's okay to lose. Losing actually teaches you something, right? Don't start fights. Walk away from fights when you can. Don't start arguments. Have basic manners. Don't smoke, drink, or chew, or run with the girls that do, right? Or how about this one? Wait until you're married. Seriously, if you want to save a whole lot of nest full of problems, just follow God's plan. Just follow God's plan. I mean, friends, doesn't it seem like a lot of folks have just lost their God-given good sense? Thankfully, we don't have to just accept it as the new normal, believing that all good sense is simply gone, because God's written a whole lot of good sense right in his book, the Bible. And one of the books that gives a lot of this is the book of Proverbs. I've come to really, really, really appreciate the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. I took a challenge a few years ago to read one proverb a day, because there are 31 proverbs, so there's one for every day of the month, and whatever date the day is, that's the one that I read. Now, I've done that for a few years now, and so there's times I've fallen away from it, and I just come back when I do. I come back to the day it is, and every day time I come back to it, I find myself thinking, this is just such good sense. It's such good sense. Actually, many of you probably remember, just a couple years ago, I challenged you to do the same thing. To read one proverb a day for a month. And what we did is we did a series then called Good Sense, where I just would take from my 7 chapters that I read and draw out some things that it talked about as good sense, and I would talk about those on Sunday mornings as we all read it together. Maybe some of you are still reading Proverbs. I hope that you do, and if not, I encourage you to do it again. But it was a great time, and the thing is what I've found is I've continued in reading the Proverbs, is I've realized that there are just a whole lot more topics that we didn't get to in that 4-week series that we did. There's a whole lot of topics that we didn't go far enough with in that series that we did. After some searching, I've discovered that there are over 100 topics in the book of Proverbs. Over 100 topics. And all I shared was like a handful of them when we did that a couple years ago. And so, as I'm scratching my head over our society, asking myself, have they lost all good sense? Is all good sense gone? God has led me back to Proverbs, to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to use that for our summer series with a series that we're calling now More Good Sense. We're going to look at some more good sense. However, this time around, I'm doing it differently. I'm not just reading each day and then pulling from those days. I'm looking at Proverbs as a whole and some of the topics have just come back a lot in Proverbs that are throughout it. And so I'm pulling Proverbs from the whole book as we talk about it instead of just the chapters as I go through each day. So that's what we're doing, looking at the breadth of Proverbs. We're going to be looking at some age-old topics in the Bible that are very much relevant and practical for today. In fact, most of what we're going to talk about, if not all of what we talk about, is right from, can come right from today's society, even though today's society seems to have lost a lot of their good sense in these topics. But they are very relevant today topics. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that every one of us here, or if you're watching from home, all of us have vested interest in. We're going to look at having good sense in relation to our associates, our friends, and our neighbors in our lives. And for those who have graduated, this is such a great, great topic for you to think about. I just want you to know that you have relationships that you think are going to last forever that probably won't. And you have some relationships that will last for a long time. But you're going to deal with relationships every day of your life. And as you move into the second chapter or the third chapter of your life right now, you're going to have to deal with relationships. And if you pay really close attention to this, I truly believe the Bible has some really good things for you to help you with that, as well as the rest of us as we think about our relationships. Before we get right into the Proverbs, I want to start by sharing with you an illustration that I call rings of relationships. I've shared these rings of relationships before in some other context of other messages that we've done, but they're really important to us to think about what kind of relationships are we talking about. So if you look to the screen for a minute, and actually I made a mistake, and I'll show you where the mistake is when I get there. Steve always does perfect, and Mike does a perfect job. I messed it up, so there is an error here. I'll show you when we get here. But this just shows us the importance of our relationships, okay? And at the core, at the center of our relationships, the most priority should go to, the most important relationship we have is with God. God should be at the center of all of the rest of our relationship, all these other rings that we're going to look at. And when God is not at the center of these relationships, all the other layers of relationships go out of line. They go out of whack. They can't possibly be the best that they can be. So the most important relationship we have is with God. The next ring out would be your family. And by family, if you're married, first it's your spouse and then your family. If you're not married, it's other family. And actually, as you mature and grow in life, sometimes we're not even necessarily talking about your biological family. It might be the family of those closest to you. We've had church family in every church we've been in. But we're also talking, of course, about your blood biological family. Those are very important relationships. God needs to be first. The next most important is your family. The next tier out is the one that I missed somehow. No, actually, not yet. Or did you fix it?
It's still
off. The screen's good now. What's that? You fixed it? Well, look at him, man. I told you he's near perfect. So he fixed it. I didn't know that. But you can, your bulletin, you can add this. This ring is friends. Friends. So that's the next ring of our relationships. And here's the thing about friends. And I was thinking about this. I was at Old Ford High School's graduation. And at one point, I looked over all the students. And I heard some of the students speaking up front and the students saying, "We will always remember and we will always be together." And I was thinking, you know, I know that's not true. You will leave here and there's some students that you'll never see again because you go your own way. You think you will. You really think you will, but you won't. You'll never see some of them. Some of them you'll stay close to you too. Some of them you may not stay close to any of them because you go to a new season of life where there are new friends. And what we who've been around a little bit longer, who have the gray and white hair know, is that you go through seasons of friends who are close to you and important. And if you move around as we have, those friends tend to change a lot. But if you are blessed, in your lifetime, you'll have three or four, one or two sometimes, four or five maybe, of those close friends, those really valued friends that you're friends with like forever. And you may not see them for years, but when you're back with them in their presence, you go right back to where you were because they're those really close friends. We do have some of those relationships, but our friends are important. And who we draw close to us matters, and we need to be very intent about those. The next circle then would be neighbors. And when we're using the word neighbors, we're not just talking about who lives next to you. We're talking about your sphere of neighborliness. Who's around you close, where you work, your work neighbors, if you're in school, your school neighbors, the neighborhood you're in, the area you live in, those people that you kind of know on a semi-regular basis, right? You know their names, you're neighborly with them. The next layer would be the last layer we're talking about, and that's associates. Now, these are the people, not people that you see like once and you don't see them again for a year. You see them in your regular life, like where you bank or where you go to dinner or places like that, and you begin to kind of form relationships with them. They're not friends. You wouldn't necessarily call them friends. They're not even necessarily neighbors, but they're people that you get to know. We've had different restaurants over our time when our kids were younger we might go back to often, and we'd build relationships. Sometimes we didn't even know their names, but we'd go in, both faces would light up, we kind of know each other, and they would be regular associations that we have in life. So that's the ring of relationships that we have. And as we look at these relationships in all of our lives, we realize that who and how we hang out with, who we hang out with and how we hang out with them is really important. It's really important. And the different levels of these relationships have different investments and they have different outcomes, as well as requiring real discernment in what we do with those. That being said, the Proverbs offer us good sense on all five of these rings of our relationships. But for today, we're just focusing on the last three, the outer three, associates, neighbors, and friends. We're looking at Proverb verses that have to do with those three areas of our lives. There are actually a lot of verses that deal with these three areas of our relationships. We're going to look at 10, quickly look at 10, by giving 10 tips for good sense in relating to others. 10 tips. And as we do this, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not necessarily differentiating between the three levels of relationships. Sometimes I am, but we're just kind of thinking of how we can apply these good sense tips to all three of these layers. So let's get started. Here's our first good sense tip for our relationships. The first one is this: help when you can. When you can. Notice the emphasis on the word when. I'm not saying, well, when you can get around to it. I'm saying when you're able, as soon as you're able, that's when you should help. That's when, look at Proverbs 3:28, it says, if you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Help when you can. Doesn't that just sound like good sense? Doesn't it? Why? Because it takes care of the problem right now. It uses time wisely. It shows that you care. It takes it off your mind. It takes it off their mind. You don't have to be thinking about it, when you're going to get to it later, when you're going to fit it in, etc. You help when you can. If I can do it right now, I'll do it right now. It doesn't pass it off to somebody else. It relieves their stress, their worry. It meets their need as soon as possible. And yet, what do? How often instead do we say, yeah, I can help you. Why don't you just shoot me a text with some good times, and I'll check my calendar, and I'll talk to my peeps. You talk to your peeps. We'll find a time we can get together, and then I'll help out. And then what happens? Next thing you know, a day's gone, another day's gone, a week's gone, a month's gone, and then you just kind of plumb forget about it. You really had good intentions of helping, but now it's just completely slipped your memory. You forgot about it because you didn't do it when you could do it. All that time, that neighbor, that friend, that associate, they're wondering, they're worrying, fretting over the help that they need and how they're going to get this done, and it says something to them, doesn't it, about how you value them and the place that they have in your relationship and in your life. If you can help, do it when? As soon as you can help. Do it today if you can, and if you can't do it today, then right then and there, set up the time with that person that you will do it. And ultimately, that spells relief for both of you. Second relational good sense tip is this: do no harm. Do no harm. Proverbs 3:29 says, don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. Those near you and your neighborly sphere of influence trust you. unless you're plotting harm against them. I know that, this one sounds like kind of a no duh, right? It doesn't no duh. Who's gonna plot harm against their neighbor? I mean, some people might do that for real, might really plot harm, but nobody that goes to this church, right? Nobody. But I think that we need to take this further than just how it sounds. It says not to plot harm. It's not even saying anything about doing the harm. It's talking about not even plotting it, not even thinking it. Now, maybe we wouldn't plot harm, what we would call harm, but have you ever had one of those neighbors or some of those neighbors, those people near you who are just really irritating? Have you ever had that? And once in a while, you just have those thoughts go through of what you could do, right? Of what you could do. I don't mean majorly harmful things, but even the smaller things. Well, John said in 1 John that we just got done with that hating your brother or sister in your mind is like murdering them in your mind. So even those small plotting, those small thoughts, they're not good. When I was growing up, we had some beautiful, wonderful neighbors that lived next door to us. They were this lovely couple named the Morrows. And I loved the Morrows. This sweet older couple, and they would have their grandson over sometimes, and I got to go over and actually go in their house and play with their grandson. They were just this sweet couple. They were sweet, sweet people, but then they moved away. And a new family moved in, and they were quite different from this sweet old couple that used to live there. Our properties were separated by about 10 foot of grass, with the driveway then next to the grass, and right on the driveway sat their house, so we were pretty close. It was the side of the house that we didn't have like a ton of windows, so we didn't like see them all the time, but still it was close. The backyard was really close, right on the line of our backyard, very close. The dad of the family was always at home sitting on the porch drinking beer. He didn't work. He was at home all the time just sitting out there. They had two kids, a son and a daughter. The daughter was older, and I'm guessing late elementary, middle school, not that old, but she was so nasty to us. She had this dirty little mouth, and she would cuss at us, and she even threw a knife into our swimming pool. We had a 4 or 5 foot above ground swimming pool, and we're in the pool, and we find this knife in the center of the pool and do some investigating, and sure enough, she's the one that did it. She threw it in. They put a tall fence up around their backyard, this enclosure in the backyard, right on the border of our properties, and in it they put this hound dog. It was about an 8 foot tall fence, so you couldn't see him, but you could hear him howling and barking all the time. It's one of those dogs you throw out into the back enclosure and nobody pays attention to it. And at that time we didn't have air conditioning, so our windows were opening. We hear this dog barking all night long. They didn't clean up his business. So when you were in your backyard, you knew that dog was over there. Besides hearing him, you smelled him. It was not pleasant. Then what topped it off for my dad was that we had one parking place in the front of our house that we regularly used. Well, they'd park their old beater car, in my dad's eyes anyway. It was that old beater car. They would park it in front of our spot and leave the spot in front of their house open. It was really frustrating for my parents and for us as kids. And it was a really big change. And I remember at times in my family talking about those neighbors, right? Talking about those neighbors and what they did and what they didn't do and how he didn't work and all those other things and plotting what we would like to do to get back to them, even though we weren't the kind of people to really ever do anything, but we would talk about it and we'd plot in our minds at times and we're very negative. And do you know what? That was wrong. That was just really so wrong for us to do that. Our bad feelings toward them didn't make a single thing better, right? Not a single thing. It only stressed us out more. That's all that it did. However, after a few years, gradually a little kindness began to be exchanged back and forth. And then my parents started kind of getting along with them okay. And then when my mom, several years later, passed away, when she died, the son was now grown up, still living next door. His dad was now gone. His mom was soon gone after that. And he started stopping by the front of the house when my dad was on the front porch and just stopping and talking to him. And all of a sudden, this relationship formed with these people that we used to plot against. Notice that the proverb doesn't say, don't plot against your neighbor unless they're not the nicest. unless the little girl next door cusses at you and throws a knife in your bowl. It says, don't plot against your neighbor because they trust you. And when you plot against them, you break trust, whether they know you're plotting or not. Third relational good sense tip is this: help others. Help others. The next proverb sounds familiar to some of what we've been talking about, sounds familiar to what we just read, but its implication takes us even further. It's not just important that we don't do harm to our neighbor, but how can we help them, right? How can we help them? And remember, I just used an illustration of a next-door neighbor, but we're not talking about just next-door neighbors. We're talking about those who we're kind of neighborly live with. We're talking about those in our areas of life where we live. They're more than acquaintances, but they're not quite friends, just in the circles, they'd be your neighborhood of life, co-workers, other families in your school, and such like that. Here's what Proverbs 14:21 says about this. It says, it is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor. It is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. It's actually a sin to belittle those you're in your neighborhood sphere. I think we all better let that just sink in just a little bit. To belittle is an implication that says that you're above somebody else in some way, right? That's belittling them. I'm above them in something, and they're less than me. Why can't they keep their lawn the way that I do? How can that person dress the way they do? How can that at work? How can their work ethic be so poor when you compare it to mine? That behavior is not something that I would ever do. It's negative thoughts and language, and the proverb says that if you help the poor, and that can be financially poor, that can be social cues poor, friend poor, manners poor. Poor means less than you in some way, then you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. It's simply good sense to help out and build up instead of belittling and tearing down. Fourth relational good sense tip is this: draw close to wise companions. Wise companions. We have acquaintances and neighbors that we want to keep good relations with. That's just good sense. But when you're moving into the friendship circle, those you're going to really spend time with, who you're going to invest in, who are going to invest in you, you want to use some real discernment here. Listen to what Proverbs 13:20 says. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Listen, there's a lot of foolish activity that goes on in our world today, right? A lot of foolishness. People make a lot of foolish choices, and many people end up in places they didn't think they'd ever be in because of who they're walking with. They're walking with someone, and next thing you know, they're going to a place that they wouldn't have gone if they weren't walking with that person. You've likely heard the phrase before, you become like who you spend time with. Have you ever hung out too long with a really negative person, and then you find yourself starting to think, maybe starting to speak more negatively? Have you ever spent time with people who just use a whole lot of foul language? Maybe you have to work with them, and then after a while you find yourself slipping here and there with words you never used before. Maybe you hit your finger with a hammer on your finger or in your thumb, and this word comes out that you never would have used before. When you spend the bulk of your time with someone who's living and making foolish decisions, and people graduating from high school and college, listen to this very closely. When you spend the bulk of your time with people who are living and making foolish decisions, this proverb says you will get in trouble. You will get in trouble. But if you walk with the wise, you become wise. You become wise. Choose who you spend your time with carefully, because you can become like whoever you hang out with. Fifth tip is similar to this one, but it's this: choose not to hang out with angry people. You can pray for them, you can be kind to them, but don't hang out with them on a regular basis. Love and kindness wear off on others, and so does anger. Being around people who are always angry, what that does is that sours you. Now, I'm not saying you need to ditch people that you love because they're angry, But hanging out with them can't be your mainstay. It can't without it impacting you. Here's what the good sense of the proverb tells us in Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. It says, don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will be like them and endanger your soul. Whoa. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? You can endanger your soul with angry associations. Why? Because anger is so not like Jesus. Anger is so not like God. God is love. So why put yourself in a position of continual influence that's so unlike God? Why would you do that? Sixth relational good sense tip is this. Please God and peace follows. Please God and peace follows. Listen to Proverbs 16:7. When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. Even their enemies. Some people live their lives as kind of huge people pleasers. Have you known some people who are people pleasers? Maybe you've even been a people pleaser sometimes. They don't like anyone being unhappy. Particularly, they don't like them being unhappy with them. And so some go to every measure they can to keep the calm, to keep people pleased with them, right? Well, friends, this proverb tells us that this isn't the way to make real peace. Trying to please everyone else often doesn't create real peace, the peace that we think it does with others. And even more, often it doesn't leave us with any real inner peace if we're just trying to please everybody else. Good sense instead says this, my whole objective in life is to please one person. It's to please God. That's my whole objective. I'm going to live not to please what everybody else thinks, what everybody else wants. I'm here to please the Lord, to please God. In fact, pleasing God may lead you to do the very opposite of what you think you need to do to please other people. If you're trying to please God, then pleasing everybody else. Why does pleasing God even lead to peace with enemies? Because if you live to please God, that means you're always going to do the right thing. You're always living to do the right thing. You're always living to honor God. True peace only comes in what's right. True peace can't come in what's wrong. Part of this is understanding the difference between pleasing someone and appeasing someone. Often what we think will be pleasing to somebody else is really only appeasing them. It's just pacifying them for a time. I mean, think of it when a mom gives a pacifier to a baby. The baby's hungry. She's not able to feed it in the moment. She sticks this pacifier in its mouth, right? And the baby stops crying for a while until the baby kicks it out because it's not going to have peace until its belly gets filled with milk. And when the belly's full, it has real peace. God's way is always right. So if in the attempt to please somebody else, we stop doing what's right. If we stop doing what's right to try to please someone else, we can know that we're not really bringing peace. We're just appeasing that situation, that person for a short time, instead of leading them to the peace that comes in God. Now, doing what's right to please God may not necessarily bring instant peace with particularly those who are your enemies, but it's the road to real peace and not pacifying a want, a desire, or a behavior that keeps someone in a position that doesn't honor God. If you have a drug addict who's trying to break the habit, right? They're trying to break the habit, they're going to likely go through some withdrawal. They'll likely come to a point where they may be begging for their next drug fix. And if you give in trying to keep the peace and give them that drug, you're going to appease them and they're going to be satisfied for a short time until they need the next fix. If instead you honor God, you please God, you hold back from giving that fix, you help them get through it, then eventually they're going to come to a real place of peace. And friends, that's like a metaphor. It's transferable into all of our life. If we are God pleasers and not people pleasers, peace will follow. It will follow. Real peace will follow. Seventh relational God sense tip is this. Don't instigate or you separate. There are a few different instigators that we're talking about here. I'm drawing from Proverbs 16, verse 28, but as I looked at that, translations of this verse, I found three different translations kind of all saying it differently. So listen to all three of these translations. First is Proverbs 16:28 from the New Living Translation. And it says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Now listen to it in the New International Version. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. And in the English Standard Version, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Let's first talk about what these three translations have in common. And the second part of it, they all end with either separates best friends or close friends. This instigation, this problem is going to separate best friends or close friends. So instigating, whatever we're talking about here, it brings separation. Troublemaking plants strife. Perverseness stirs conflict. Dishonesty spreads strife. And then gossip and whispering separates. Doesn't this just all seem like good sense? That's because God's good sense, common sense, that's because God's good sense is meant to be common sense to guide our life. I'm only going to lead to separating my friendships if I instigate trouble, perverseness, or dishonesty. And if I whisper about my friends, which is the same as gossiping, now most of us probably wouldn't label ourselves as instigators, but we're not maybe as innocent as we think. I've found by simply observing human practice and my own practice that we often do way more instigating than we think that we do. Whispering's easy, right? Whispering's easy because if you're whispering, it can't be that bad because you're being quiet about it. But you can whisper some really hateful things. Especially if you're whispering about somebody right after they've walked away, right? That can be really harmful, whispering, gossiping. We think that it may be harmless, but whenever we're telling someone else's story without their permission to tell it, whether we've got the facts straight or we don't have the facts straight, it doesn't really matter. Whenever we do that, it's gossip. Nothing will separate a friendship quicker than finding out a friend is whispering about you. A friend is gossiping about you. In one church where I served, one of my main roles was overseeing the life group ministry. And I found that the thing that would destroy a life group faster than Mike can eat a piece of bacon, so that's really fast, what would destroy a group the fastest was when a story leaked from the group, a confidence was broken. Someone shared about it, and then somebody in the group took it outside of the group. The thing that makes life groups so good is knowing that you can do life together, you can count on each other, knowing that you can be real, and that it's not going to get blabbed through the rest of the world and community. When I was serving in this role, I remember having one person who I struggled to place in a group because this person talked and kept the group, any group she was in, from going deep and being real. Others learned very quickly that they couldn't share anything personal when this person was in the group, and the group always stayed shallow. And aside from the speaking, our pride, our selfishness, it easily stirs trouble. If we're having a cranky day, we might make a troublesome comment, whichever translation we use here for this proverb. The point is that we need to be very aware of ourselves in our words and in our actions. If it's not honest, if it's perverse, don't say it, don't do it. Friends, that should be just good common sense. But our world often doesn't live by those rules. And that's why we have so much division, so much brokenness in our world. Eighth relational good sense tip is this. Strive not to offend others because it's hard to win them back. It's hard to win them back. Have you ever been around a person who just regularly says and does offensive things? You ever have that happen? Maybe it's masked in humor, or maybe it's they're just immature, or maybe it's they have bad manners or habits, or maybe they're just direct in it, and they're just offensive. It's really hard to want to be around somebody who offends you, and it's especially hard to trust them again, even if they've apologized, right? Proverbs 18:19 says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. Whoa. Doesn't that explain it well? When you really offend someone and you hurt them, it can be very difficult to get back into that person's life. And then an argument on top of that just is like a lock on the gate, isn't it? This is one of the reasons that I'm just not a fan of sarcasm. It slips out of my mouth some of the time, but I'm not a fan. Sarcasm is the center, at the center of it. It is, it's supposed to be so-called humor today. But when you're using humor, sarcasm, at the expense of somebody else, at the offense of another person or another group of people, it can be so destructive to a relationship and keep it from moving forward. It could even end a relationship. So what do you do when you've offended someone? When you're on the offending side? Well, first of all, own it. Own it. Don't make excuses for yourself. Don't blame shift. Don't manipulate it. Own the fact, yeah, I really did do this. Wow, I really blew it. I was really pretty offensive. Then apologize, and then ask the person for forgiveness. Friends, the asking for forgiveness part is very important because it makes the apology real. It lets the other person know that you really mean it when you're saying you're sorry and that you're owning the fact that you know that you were wrong. Will you please forgive me? And then after that, the last step is also important. From there, do the right thing from then on. You've heard people say, go make it right, but the truth is if you've offended somebody, you can't make it right. Once it's done, it can't be undone. And so all you can do is make the intentional decision, the intentional effort to do the right thing from that point onward and stop offending and stop offending. The ninth relational good sense tip is this: be loyal in love at all times. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in times of need. Again, other translations of this verse say it a bit differently, like a friend loves at all times and is born for adversity. That's saying the same thing, that we should love with loyal love that even takes us through hard times, even times of adversity with others. How can we do that with our associates and our neighbors and our friends? I remember many years ago when we lived in a neighborhood, Caroline learned that there was a family down the street and the woman had cancer. She was battling with cancer. We didn't really know them that well as a family, but they were part of our neighborhood. They were part of our neighbors. And Caroline realized that this was a time that they just needed some loyal love in a tangible way. And so she contacted the husband and made arrangements for us to provide supper for one night a week. And so Caroline would prepare once a week. She'd prepare the supper. Our kids were little, and then me and one or a couple of the kids would take it down and deliver it to them once a week for several weeks until we actually moved out of that area. And I just want to say to you that I've witnessed people in this church come alongside others in times of adversity like that. And it's simple. That's what loyal love does. That's what loyal love does. It only makes good sense, doesn't it? It only makes good sense. One final good sense tip, and then we'll wrap it up. This one's a huge one. Be real. Just be real. Nothing's worse than a phony. We see phonies all over the place in our world today. Every talking head that's on a screen feels like a phony. We don't know who we can believe. We don't know who we can trust. So can't we, as the people of God, say no more? And just be real. Nothing turns others off more than when someone puts up a front. Listen, this should be very freeing for you. You don't need to be anyone else except who you are. And the biggest harm that we do in our rings of relationships is when we think we need to appear as someone or something else. So settle the fact that you're not perfect and neither is anybody else around you. And just be who you are. Can we all make an agreement with one another just to take off the mask? Can we do that? Do you know that some people actually enjoyed wearing face masks during COVID? Not necessarily because it made them feel safer in their health, but because it helped them to feel safer hiding themselves. And I talked to some people that actually said, I kind of like that. It kind of helped me hide my feelings. Some felt that with a face mask on, they could be more comfortable to not smile when they didn't feel like smiling. That they could show disgust when they wanted to show disgust and when they were bothered, and hide all kinds of different facial cues and emotions. But friends, the best thing that we can do in our rings of relationships is just to keep it authentic, just to keep it real. Will that show that you're less than perfect? Well, sure it will, just like the rest of us. Just like the rest of us. I love that through the Bible, God is never fake. If people are bringing him joy, then he makes it known. If people are turning their back on him once again, he shows his anger as well. Now, this isn't an excuse to be nasty or to be mean because you're just trying to be real. I didn't say not to have self-control. All of God's anger was under God's control. But let's just be real with one another. Proverbs 27:29 is the one that teaches us to be real. It says this, as a face is reflected in the water, so the heart reflects the real person. The heart reflects what's real. Let people see your heart. Don't let your heart be hidden. Let it reflect the real person that you are. It's good sense. Good sense to be real. So there you have it, friend. You got the big 10 on associates, neighbors, and friends. Why does it matter that we practice good sense in all these relationships? Here are three really quick reasons why. First, you will gain so much more. Second, you will give so much more. And third, you will have the most optimum opportunity to share Jesus with others. Because isn't that what it's all about? As a believer, isn't that what it's about? Our purpose in life is to know Jesus and to make Jesus known to others. And if we live the good sense of relationships, we can do that so much better. We are greatly prohibited from doing that when we don't practice good sense in our relationships. People won't listen to you if they don't believe you and if they don't respect you. So every relationship that you have matters. You can't just be cheery and kind when you come to church. You've got to practice good sense in all of your relationships every day of the week. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you've made us relational beings. You have made us for one another. You've made us firstly to be in relationship with you and then to be in relationship with others. And it's so important that we don't just blow past that. We don't often think about working on our relationships. We just kind of think about hiding from them or going to the ones that draw us closer or just blowing up at people. We don't think about putting work into it. But the Proverbs, the good sense of your word tells us that if we're going to have relationships that are strong, if we want to have the best relationships we can, then we have to put effort into them. And we thank you so much for just 10 things we looked at today. Help us to be the people of Jesus, to show Jesus in our relationships with everyone you bless us to be around. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, go today and be a blessing to somebody else. Be a blessing to somebody else. God bless you. Love you. We'll see you next week.